Thanks for stopping by for another edition of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here with our host, psychologist, and best-selling author, Dr. James Dobson. And Dad, to kick off today's broadcast, we have a very exciting announcement.
It is exciting, Ryan, even though I've mentioned it a time or two. Mm-hmm. And for the benefit of those who were not listening at that time, let me say...
Shame on you.
that Dr. Meg Meeker, a pediatrician, has joined our team here at Family Talk, and she is in private practice in northern Michigan, and God brought her to us.
Oh, absolutely. And you can just feel the excitement among our staff when we know Dr. Meeker is coming in. She is such a light to the office, and now she can be a light to our listeners as well. And we're going to start that right away with today's program by listening to a message from Dr. Meeker about raising kids. Our world today is a fast-paced, self-obsessed one, and it can seem impossible to raise godly children. So Dr. Meeker is here to provide some encouragement and advice for parents.
Well, I know our listeners are really going to enjoy hearing Dr. Meeker. I was there when she gave this presentation. I think you were too,
Ryan. I was. It was fantastic.
We were out in La Quinta, California, and mm-hmm. we'd brought a group together. And Dr. Meeker is a good speaker, and she is also very knowledgeable about her subject matter. Both medicine and child rearing. Mm. She's the mother of four children, just had her first grandchild recently. But, you know, so many blogs and books that you read on raising children are really not very good, frankly. They have bad advice in them. Mm-hmm. Many of them are not based on the principles in God's Word, and some of them have bad medical information in it, too. You can trust what Dr. Meeker has to say, and she's going to share that and show you that today with the recorded presentation that she made just a few months ago.
Well, let's welcome Dr. Meeker to our team by listening into this wonderful message from her on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Many years ago as a pediatrician, I worked with a very wise older pediatrician. And I was young and fresh out of the gate and anxious to do the very best I could for kids in my practice. And he looked at me and he sort of looked a little bit like Marcus Welby. And he said, "Let me tell you something. If you want to do anything good for kids, you want to make an impact that's substantial on their lives, get to their parents. If you take care of parents, you don't have to worry about the kids." And I thought, well, yeah, okay, thank you, but I have all this fresh training in the front of my head, so I'll tuck that in the back somewhere. And sure enough, over the years, I learned in the practicing pediatrics that nothing could be more true. That if you can really encourage and undergird parents, you don't have to worry about the kids. And that goes to their emotional health, their psychological health, their spiritual health, and even their physical health. So a lot of the work that I do, I do teach a lot of abstinence to teens, and I go around the country and I talk to scores of hundreds of teenagers about sex in big auditoriums, and it's a lot of fun. Believe it or not, it's a lot of fun. And we giggle and we laugh. And it's kind of funny, if I go to a venue like that and then I'm going to talk to all the kids that day, tons of kids come out and they ask all sorts of questions because our kids, you know, are bombarded with so many sexual messages. And then you plan an event for the evening where all the parents of those kids are come. How many parents do you think show up? Not very many. Because sex and parents and their kids is not something that is a good connection, because parents are a little bit queasy about talking to their kids about things like sex. But that's the most important work I do, really. It's not going to the kids and encouraging them, but encouraging their parents. So what I'd like to talk to you today a little bit is just touch down on where parents in our culture are and some of the shifts that I've seen. I've been doing this about 24 years now, and I kind of consider myself a professional listener, if you will. Because if you listen very carefully to kids and their parents, you learn so much about what's wrong in their lives. And usually what's wrong are the most simple, simple things. And when I was preparing for today, thinking about, well, you know, we've written a lot of books on how to discipline your kids. Should you spank or should you do timeouts? You know, how early should they be? And when do you have this talk? And how do you teach kids your virtues? And I was sensing a little bit of a frustration, because I can tell parents how to do that and encourage parents how to do that. But if they do that, but they're not starting at the right spot in their parenting, it doesn't work. So I found myself, as I was getting ready, thinking about what I was going to talk about today, is having to back up and back up and back up and say, wait a minute, as a group of people whose hearts are drawn to helping the family in the next 30, 40, 50 years, God willing, we need to back up a little bit too and say maybe what's going wrong with parents in America is not that they don't have the desire to raise good kids, because certainly they do. Never before have we had parents so interested in doing a great job for their kids. But the problem is many of those parents are starting from the wrong place. And where is that place that they're starting from, and where does it be? Where should it be? Well, Scripture tells us right out the bat. Proverbs 9:10 says, "Fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, and knowledge of the Holy One, understanding." Fear of the Lord is the beginning of being a wise parent. So maybe parents are lacking wisdom today in our culture because they don't have appropriate fear of the Lord. Could that be? And then we go on to Proverbs 1:7. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge. So if we want to bring wisdom and knowledge and understanding to parents across America and across the world, we must get them to the place where they start, with fear of the Lord. Well, what's gone wrong in our culture? What's this shift that's happened over the past 40 or 50 years? I've seen it, and I'm only 55. So in a very short span of my career in pediatrics, I've seen an enormous shift. And that shift has been this. And ladies and gentlemen, I'm not talking just about secular parents. I do a lot of my speaking to secular parents, but to Christian parents as well. We have come to a place in our parenting where we fear children more than we fear the Lord. We fear children more than we fear the Lord. Good, solid, loving Christian parents fear their children more than they fear the Lord. How did this happen? Well, we know how it happened because very insidiously and slowly over the past 30 years, Satan has come in and he's used the nicest of our friends to just sort of make a few little changes in their parenting under the guise of being wonderful parents and focusing more and more and more myopically away from God onto our children. And we've come to a place where literally and figuratively we fear our kids. Our families, if you will, moms and dads, are orbiting around their kids, and God is orbiting around all of us in our family. And this is a very important paradigm to understand, the shift that's taken place. Because if you go out and you ask any garden variety, wonderful Christian parent what his or her job is as a good parent, they will respond by saying something like this: "My job as a godly dad is to provide a lot of opportunities for my child, great. To make sure that my child has a healthy self-esteem, right. This is the one I love. To make sure that no matter what is going on in my child's life, doesn't matter what they do, as long as my child is happy, then life is good. And by the way, my job, moms are great at this, my number one job as a mom is to make sure that my child is happy all the time." Well, who in the world invented that? That's a killer for us. My mother's job, I never believed, was to make me happy. And she would tell me that. That's not my job. You're bored? Go figure out what to do. You got a college application to do? Go figure out how to write it. You want to go to medical school? Terrific. I'll be behind you 100%. Go do the work you need to do to get there. But we shifted in one generation to feeling that it is our job to make sure our kids have opportunities, healthy self-esteem, they're happy all the time, and that they are successful. And then you superimpose Christianity on it and you really have a mess. Because not only do we want successful, strong kids who can stand up against the world, we want kids who are going to go to youth group Wednesday nights, church on Sundays and Sunday evenings, know all of their scriptures and be super prayers. So if we're going to add that to the mix, we have an enormous amount of work to do. And ladies and gentlemen, every parent out there knows the workload we feel is far too much for any parent. And that's why we have the golden opportunity. Parents have never been so exhausted as they are today. That's why I wrote a book called 10 Habits of Happy Mothers. Because I went around and I interviewed many, many high-profile moms trying to do a lot of these things, just what I've talked about, to raise super children. And they can't do it, and they're frustrated, and life is falling apart. And they know they're not living life well, but they don't know where to go. Why? Because they need to go back to the right starting place. What's behind all of this? If we just sort of drill down a little bit, we can say, well, yes, it's really all about our kids, but let's dig a little bit deeper. I wrote a book on fathers and daughters, and it was an incredible eye-opener to me into the hearts of dads. I learned more about dads after I wrote the book than before I wrote the book because I heard from so many. And my job, my goal was to allow dads to see who they were from behind their daughter's eyes, because if I believed that dads could understand what their daughters want and need, not what the world says you should be, and if they got that just for about 10 minutes, their lives would never be the same. And I believe, to some degree, that was fairly successful. But here's where your Christian dad, who believes he needs to do all these things for his children, and he's focusing on his children, here's why it feels like it's working for dad. Because if I do all these things for my kids, and I pay for college, and I pay for their graduate school, and I get them off to these things, and they love the Lord, then I'm a really good dad, and I can feel good about my life. My life is worth living. But if I don't, and my kid runs away, and he's homeless, or he doesn't want anything to do with me, or if I really mess up my kid, then I'm a failure. Because the deepest cry in my heart, aside from loving God and my Lord, which whether we know it or we don't, that's the deepest cry of our heart. Second deepest cry, aside from having a great marriage, is to love our kids really well. And that's why we need to chase our kids so desperately and make them everything. Because if it doesn't work, could we find out somehow that we really failed as dads? Here is the child at the center of the world, and you can see that mom and dad are very close to the child. Mom is pouring into the child, dad is pouring into the child. And when they're doing that, all of their energy goes towards the child. What comes back? I don't know, sometimes a thank you, sometimes not. Notice that God is sort of orbiting on the outside when their focus is on their child. Where is their focus on God? And where is the interaction between mom and dad? One of the greatest fallacies I hear all the time from parents who are divorced is this. We have an amicable divorce. We're getting along very well. We co-parent very well. And I live very close to mom, and I think we're doing a good job helping her self-esteem stay good. But what I say to them, and this is hard to hear, is that in addition to the child drawing identity from both mom and dad, child draws identity from the union. Not just security, but identity from the marriage union. In this paradigm, there may be a marriage, but there is no identity drawn from that union. You amp that up a little bit, and this is what happens once it gets rolling. The more energy mom and dad pour into the child starts to realize, wow, mom and dad packed everybody up, the whole family up this weekend, and we all traveled up to the Well, we go to the UP. Nobody should ever have to go to the UP. I'm sorry. But we go to the UP on hockey tournaments for me. And everybody does this, and they're spending money for me, so I must be really important, right? So the child starts to think about himself and improve himself, and mom and dad clap, and the mom and dad put more and more in there. And then what happens to God on the outside? God, in his mercy and his grace, because he is who he is, says, well, I'm going to love you anyway. He pours his love into them, but they're not paying any attention. So what happens to his love? It's nowhere to be found. And they are orbiting in their own little child, mom, and dad sphere, and it's not working. Mothers have a particularly difficult job in this paradigm, and this is what typical mothers will say. Mothers have become extraordinarily competitive, even Christian mothers. We're competitive because we believe that some other mother has her child memorize more scripture, prays more, does more devotionals. We're all in there together. But our culture has taught mothers that we are our child's everything. Dad is nothing, we are everything. So mothers have learned, because of the feminist movement and the focus on women and the focus on daughters and so on and so forth, that we are our child's everything, and it begins in utero. But it really amps up when you have your first child. Talk to any mother who is feeding a two-month-old, and if she is not breastfeeding the child liquid gold, then she feels like a really bad mom, right? And now Time Magazine says, okay, well, you don't have to breastfeed them till they're seven. That is a little bit weird, but at least make it last till she's four. I have colleagues, very smart colleagues, who advocate mom breastfeeding children for at least a year and a half of life. And the first year of life, dad must leave the bedroom because it belongs only to the child and the mom, because breastfeeding goes 24/7. Whether she has other kids or not, whether she has a job outside the home or not, whether she has a life or not, it doesn't matter. It's child and the baby. But you see what we're doing? I am my child's everything. Where does God fit into that paradigm? He doesn't. And then moms, as the child grows on, and I read a long list to a lot of mothers, and they just start to giggle and laugh. At first, there's dead silence, because it's a little uncomfortable when I read the list. But contemporary mothers feel that. Their child needs them more than dad throughout the lifespan. They need to breastfeed their child till at least he's two. Find out what he's allergic to and make sure he never comes in contact with it. Read about every immunization before her doctor gives the immunization to the child, lest that doctor harm her child or make a mistake. Make sure that her child is in the fast reading group in as early on elementary school as possible. Always bake from scratch. Buy organic food. And if her child falls behind in school, find a good tutor and make sure he gets tutored at least three times per week. That is your job as a parent, to find their hidden talents, develop them, and create your star child. All parents, in some degree or another, with this child-centered parenting paradigm, have jumped aboard what I call the crazy train. And the funny thing is that all parents are on it to one degree or another. And some of you are shaking your heads, particularly moms, because you know you get up in the morning, you're running like a crazy person, you end the day exhausted, you lay your head on the pillow and think, oh, I just forgot to do that, I forgot to do that, I didn't do that, I'll try again tomorrow. And the list comes out the next day. And you're riding this crazy train, and it's picking up steam, and you're rocking back and forth, and it's a little bit comfortable. And lo and behold, you look around, and all of your friends are on the crazy train with you. And the funny thing is, there's a parallel train, and you look over to your right, and all of your friends, kids, and your son and daughter are on that train too. And they're going to some unknown place very, very fast, and you're going to some unknown place very, very fast, and nobody really knows what you're going, but you know one thing. You want off, because life is out of control. But here's the catch. You're just a little chicken to get off first, so you want the guy next to you to try it. And if he's the one who said, you know, our family's out of control, you can only play one sport per for your junior year in high school. And I think you're going to go to the college that God wants you to. You're going to come home after school the other two seasons. Well, we don't want to try that with our kid first. We want our friend to try it first. And if that kid does okay and gets into the right college, then maybe we'll decide we're going to drag our foot over the side of the train. But you see, we're all kind of stuck on this because this is what that leads to. Well, that's not what God says. And here's why. God created a very different paradigm for us, didn't it? A very different paradigm. God created for us the God-centered paradigm, where he and he alone is at the center, because fearing the Lord, first with mom and then with dad, is where all great life for families start.
Oh man, there is so much good stuff in that message, and we had to stop it abruptly because there is another program. I just hate that we can't play it all in one day. But next time, I promise, we're going to pick up right where we left off with the crazy train. I love that mental picture. There is no beating Dr. Meeker, is there, Dan?
Ryan, have you ever been on the crazy train?
Me? No.
I think
maybe a couple
through
times.
The early years of our marriage, I lived on it. And
did you really?
I every now and then take a trip on it.
Yeah,
even
I
know. Now.
So. I think we all do.
This is such practical stuff, and I think our listeners are really enjoying what she had to say. This presentation was actually made to a small group of Family Talk friends. It was an invitation-only group, and the parents who came seemed very pleased by what they heard. What freedom there is, as Dr. Meeker said. In letting go of our need to be mm-hmm. perfect parents who raise successful, athletic, brilliant children, and instead focusing on making the Lord the center of our lives and the center
That's right.
of our children's lives. Mm. And I'm telling you, moms and dads, if you do that, it will transform your family.
It will. I mean, it was so affirming for me as well. Laura and I tried to be extremely intentional about the number of activities we put Lincoln and Lucy in. We just don't want to be the kind of family that's always gone. We want to be the family that sits around the dinner table together and knows what our kids are doing. And even if that means the kids can't be in soccer and ballet and Awana and Little League, it's worth it to ignore the pressure of that go, 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 go all the time. It's okay to slow down and spend some time together and spend some time with God.
Ryan, don't you know that Shirley and I want super kids for grandchildren?
They are.
I mean, you've got to put them into everything.
No way.
We're going to live through their accomplishments.
Yeah.
Don't
oh,
you know
goodness.
That?
You see that all the time.
Well, it's a big mistake, and
it is.
You don't have to do it, and it takes a lot of pressure off you as parents to not try to do it all, to
yeah.
have your kids do it all.
It's unnecessary. And it'll take a lot of pressure off you. Just slow down.
It's what I like about homeschooling. Yeah, you know, that opportunity to be with the kids more. You don't send them off to somebody else for 8 hours a day. Instead, you have the time to sit down and talk and think and have devotions together. And it's a wonderful way of life.
It is. And if you'd like to build a strong family, this message is a great place to start. To hear it again or access any of our other countless marriage and parenting resources, go online to drjamesdobson.org. While online, sign up for my dad's newsletter. Every month, you can read his personal thoughts on the issues surrounding your family and every family in America.
Before we close, and related to that, Ryan, I need to tell our listeners that we do need a little help financially. Family Talk came through a pretty tough summer, and we really haven't landed on our feet yet. So if our listeners would consider, if you can, making a generous gift to Family Talk, we would certainly appreciate it.
We would. You can donate online at drjamesdobson.org, on our Facebook page, our Family Talk app, or by calling us 877-732-6825. Thanks for tuning in, and join us again next time for more of Dr. Meg Meeker as she helps us get off that crazy train right here on Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk.
Family Talk is not affiliated with Focus on the Family.
Thanks for listening to today's broadcast of Dr. James Dobson's Family Talk. I'm Ryan Dobson, here to let you know about a very exciting promotion going on here at the ministry. Some wonderful friends have pledged to match our year-end donations dollar for dollar. That's right, every gift made to Family Talk for the next couple months will be doubled. And this blessing couldn't have come at a better time of year. For most people, the holiday season is one of joy, a time to spend with brothers and sisters, grandparents and cousins. But we know for others, the holidays bring nothing but pain because they aren't close with their families. Maybe relationships are strained or non-existent, or distance keeps them apart. It's for these people that we ask you to support Family Talk, so that we can send messages of reconciliation, encouragement, and love into this broken world. You can give online at drjamesdobson.org, via the Family Talk app, on our Facebook page, or by calling us at 877-732-6825. That's 877-732-6825.